Good morning. Our scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is God's word for today. You may be seated.
Good morning and welcome to the gathering of Grace Community Church. And yes, I was going to use that wooden thing that Brooks knocked off. So I get a music stand now. If you don't know me, I am Scott Heemstra. My wife Paige and I are on staff with the Navigators, and we lead the Navigators College Ministry here at the University of Iowa. We are also one of Grace Community Church's field staff. Field staff are what we here at Grace call our missionaries. So Paige and I are missionaries to the college campus. We have served on staff with the Navigators for 13 years and have led Navigators ministries across the state of Iowa. And we've been here in Iowa City at the University of Iowa for the last 6 years and here at Grace for that amount of time also. I'm also an elder in training here, so I get to spend time with the pastors and they're developing me and training me. And so I'm excited to have this opportunity today to open the Word of God with you all. This is the third week of Advent. Advent is the season that leads up to Christmas. Advent means arrival, an arrival of someone or something notable. And for us at Christmas, we remember the Advent, the arrival of Jesus and his first coming. And we look ahead, as we've already heard today, we look ahead to his second coming because he is coming back. And this Christmas, as we lead up to Christmas, we are preparing our hearts to celebrate that Jesus has come. And we're doing that by looking at how Christ gives hope, peace, joy, and love. And so this morning, we're going to be thinking about how does Jesus give joy? We all want joy, do we not? We spend our whole lives running after, going after, trying to get as much joy as we can get. We give our whole lives to seeking and searching for happiness, and we try to get as much as we can. But joy is elusive. It's fleeting. When I think I have it, it's just gone. Something happens. Something robs me of my joy. Then we're back to looking for, searching for more joy, the next thing that can give me joy. When Pastor Jason asked me to speak here during the Advent season, and I got his text, he asked me to speak on joy. And I literally laughed, and I showed the text to my wife, and she says, "You have to. You can't say no." Because a year ago, around this time, my then 7-year-old kid, Caleb, he says to me, "Dad, what if we memorized a Bible verse during Christmas?" And I'm like, "Buddy, that's a great idea. I never thought of that." So we looked through the Christmas story together. And here's a quick picture of my family. I forgot to show this. This is my wife, Paige. We have 4 boys. We have Caleb, who's now 8. Titus is 5. James is 3. And we just had a new arrival, a new bundle of joy for our family. Ezra, he is 2 months old. And so Caleb and I, we look through the Christmas story and we choose a verse to memorize. which is Luke 2:10, which says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" And we begin to quote this verse to one another daily, day in and day out, week in and week out, throughout the month of December, as a family and me and Caleb together, and this idea that there's good news of great joy that's available begins to sink deep into me. And one thing I noticed was that I was constantly searching for joy, and I just didn't feel like I had it. I couldn't grasp it. I was like, why am I so much more unhappy than what I think I see here in this verse? And so I began to ask myself, why do I not have this great joy that has come? Do you feel the same way? Do you have the same questions? Why do we not feel this? Why do we not experience this? Now, a few years ago, I began to have a habit that every December, I would ask the Lord to give me something that he wanted me to focus on, to grow in, that he wanted to develop in my life over the course of the next year. And so last December, I began to ask God, what would you have for 2025? And through memorizing this verse and a few other things, it became clear that God was saying 2025 was to be the year of joy. 2025 was to be the year of joy. So when you can see when Jason asked me to speak, I was like, okay, God, you've been preparing me for this. And when I was sensing that it was going to be the year of joy, I remember looking at Paige at the end of December and saying, you know, 2025 might be a hard year because I know that we are to count it all joy when we face trials of many kinds. Oh, how little I knew what was coming. This has been a wild year. Paige has since told me that I am not allowed to pick the year of joy again. We'll see. Because Jesus, God, wants us to not just have a year of joy. He doesn't want us to just have joy during Christmas. He wants us to be filled with joy all the time. All the time. He wants joy formed in us and for us to live joyfully. Because Jesus gives joy. Jesus brings joy. And that's what we are remembering during this Advent season. And so today, as we get to our text, we are going to see that the birth of Jesus is good news of great joy for all people. Not just some joy, but great joy. So we're going to look at that same verse that I memorized with my son. Do you want joy this Christmas season? Have you been searching for it all year? Jesus brings great joy. Go ahead and grab your Bibles. Open your Bibles to Luke 2. We're going to be looking at verses 8 to 10. And this morning, as we go to the scriptures, we're going to think about great joy. We're going to think about receiving this great joy. What is it and how do we get it? We're going to think about responding to this great joy. How do we respond? So as you open your Bibles, let me pray. Father, will you speak to us? Will you open our hearts to what you want to say to us? Will you show us where we are putting our hope for joy? And will you show us how we can find joy in you and your son alone? Amen. So as we come to this passage, what I want you to know is that a census has been declared to be taken. And so what people need to do, they need to go back to their hometowns to be counted. And here we see Mary and Joseph, they're betrothed. So they're preparing to be married. And Joseph, his hometown is Bethlehem. And so he needs to go back to Bethlehem to be counted for the census. And they're currently in Nazareth. So they need to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, about a 70-mile journey. And Mary is pregnant. Earlier, an angel showed up and told her that she's going to be pregnant with God's own son. And she's pregnant. She's not just pregnant. She's like very pregnant. And at the end of this little fun census trip, they get to Bethlehem. And what happens is that Mary has the baby. Mary has baby Jesus. And they put him in a manger in a town where they don't live because there's no room for them anywhere else. And this is where our passage picks up today. We're going to first look at some shepherds receiving this great joy. Look at verse 8. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." So here's this scene. Right outside of Bethlehem, Jesus was just born. Shepherds are doing what shepherds do. They're watching their sheep. It's nighttime. They're minding their own business. And then, boom, an angel shows up. An angel shows up, and these guys are terrified. Could you imagine this? It's dark. Not like Iowa dark. There's no ambient glow of light pollution coming off of Bethlehem. No, this is dark. And out of nowhere, a bright, shining angel just appears. Do you know what these shepherds are thinking right now and feeling? Do you know what's farthest from their mind? Joy. Joy is probably farthest from their mind. These guys are terrified. It says they're filled with great fear. They don't have some happy feeling right now about this. They have no idea what's going on. And they have great fear. Joy is often not our first response to something surprising, unexpected, unwanted, unimaginable, maybe something scary happening. No, some of our first response will be fear, anxiety, worry, stress. Maybe it's this fight or flight. The shepherds here are responding with fear, and this is normal. This is natural, right? If a bear is coming at you, you're not going to be like, oh, happy bear. You're going to be like, I got to get out of there. And the question before us is, what is joy and how do we get it, especially in our fear, especially when unexpected things happen, especially when the unimaginable happens? But what about in the ordinariness of life, in the day-to-day normal? What about in this Christmas season, in the big moments and the small moments? How do we have joy? So in October, our fourth son, Ezra, was born. And when he was born, the doctors did the physical examination of him, and they're looking at him, and on his backside, they see this mark. And it's never good when you hear a doctor go, huh, what is that? And then they call over other medical professionals, and they look at it, and many of the medical professionals in the room go, huh, what is that? They say it doesn't seem that concerning, but let's get it checked out just in case. And so they refer us to dermatology, and dermatology looks at it. And they, too, don't seem that concerned, but they're also like, huh, what is that? And a few days later, the tests come back. And it comes back through my chart. And so Paige and I do what all of us do when something comes through my chart. We start Googling it, pretending we're medical professionals, looking up all these words, trying to understand what is this saying. And as we're reading Google, which is really helpful, right, when you get something back in my chart, we begin to understand that Ezra's mark has come back as cancer. Eventually, we finally talk to a doctor, and they want to run a bunch of tests. They want to run a bunch of tests, full blood workup. They want to ultrasound his liver. They want to do a full skeletal X-ray because the concern is that this mark that's on his skin, this lesion on his skin, that there's lesions all over his body on the inside. And so here, Paige and I are less than 1 month old, and we get this cancer diagnosis and the fear. That fear begins to well up. The hopes and dreams that we have for our little boy. What's going to happen in the coming days, let alone the weeks, months, years? What will this look like? My thought is, Lord, this is supposed to be the year of joy. How am I supposed to have joy in this, God? What do we do with fear? What do we do when we feel like joy is the furthest thing from us? Let alone, how do we have joy in the day-to-day ordinariness of life? These shepherds, in this passage, they're experiencing the unimaginable. Paige and I, we're experiencing the unimaginable. I'm guessing these shepherds would have never guessed in their wildest dreams, as they're hanging out with their sheep, that angels would show up to them. Church, God does not leave us in our fears. He does not leave us alone. He does not leave us where we're at. Here in this passage, we see these shepherds. They're not left there in their fear. The angel speaks, and the angel speaks right to their fear. Look at verse 10. The angel says, fear not. The angel says, fear not. This is a common first thing for angels to say. When we see angels show up in the scriptures, angels often say, fear not. I wonder if it's because angels know this is terrifying, right? This is surprising. This is terrifying. Also, they appear out of nowhere, shining bright. We see different depictions of angels in the scriptures. Here, all we know is that they're shining brightly. But this is one of my favorite things at Christmas time. Have you seen these memes of angel treetoppers, like the biblically accurate angel treetoppers? In the book of Ezekiel, we see angels described as having eyes upon eyes, wheels. I just love that somebody like knitted or crocheted that, whatever that is. Like someone took time to do that, to make their tree nice. So this is what I picture. This is terrifying if an angel shows up. And the angel, I think the angel's like, I know I'm scary. Look at me. But the angel's like, fear not. Have you ever had someone in times of great fear, maybe great anxiety, struggle, just say, stop it? Stop fearing. Is that helpful? You know what I shouldn't say to my wife when we find out our son has cancer? Paige, don't fear. No, that wouldn't have been helpful. Or at least not the only thing I should say. And that's not the only thing we see the angel say here. Because the angel keeps going. The angel tells the shepherds what they need to know. The angel tells them the why. We need to know the why. Why no fear? Look back at verse 10. For behold, I bring you good news. This angel has good news. And when we receive good news, it changes everything. Good news changes everything. Nothing is the same. The angel tells two qualities of this good news. First, this good news is of great joy. Of great joy. Not a little bit, but of great joy. I love this. The angel meets the great fear with great joy. But what is joy? What is joy? I want to give you five quick things that I've learned about joy in my year of joy. First, it is hard to define. It's hard to define. Happiness, gladness, those are some okay words, but I think they often fail us. I recently heard someone describe trying to define joy as trying to grasp for smoke. It's hard to catch. Second, the thing I learned about joy is that it's commanded. We see all throughout the scriptures we are to rejoice always. It's not optional. Third, and this is kind of in contrast to the second one, is that we can't do it. We can't make ourselves, we can't force ourselves to be more joyful because that's a fruit of the Spirit. So in this year of joy, I've been asking God, Lord, will you fill me with your Spirit and produce joy in me that only you can produce? Fourth, joy is not found here. It's not found in myself, in my things, in my circumstance, in the health of my baby son. Joy is found in God and God alone. Fifth, I've already said this one, but joy and just more general character is formed in us often through trials, refined by fire. So my best definition of joy as I attempt to grab for smoke is joy is happiness found in God and his son alone and not in anything else. Joy is this happiness found in God and his son and not in anything else. And there is great joy available to us. Great happiness beyond our understanding. The second quality of this good news is that it's for all people. This is global news. This is global news. And this good news of great joy changes everything. And it's not going to leave the world the same. It's for all people. No one is to be excluded. And it starts here in this tiny little town in Bethlehem. And it ends up here that we are in North Liberty of Iowa, of all places, that we're talking about this good news of great joy. Isn't that wild? And imagine this, of all the people in the world, God sent his messenger angels to these shepherds. These shepherds were outcasts. They were the social outcasts. They were low in society. They were dirty, smelly, uneducated. And yet nothing displays that the good news of great joy is for all people, that God sent his angel to tell of the good news first to these shepherds. This good news of great joy is for you. It's for me. It's for these shepherd outcasts. no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter your circumstances, no matter your fears, there is good news of great joy for you today. And it's for all people. How do we get it? Just like with any news, we have to hear it. We have to understand it. We have to receive it and believe it. And this is what's happening for these shepherds. The angel here with this message of good news brings it to them, and they hear it, they understand, they receive it. What is this good news of great joy? It's this good news of great joy for all people. This good news of great joy is a baby announcement. It's a baby announcement. When we have babies, we love making baby announcements, sending texts, posting on social media. When Ezra was born, this is the message I sent. Ezra Philip Heemscher was born on October 7th at 4:42 p.m., weighing 6 pounds, 11 ounces. And then I included a picture. Right? We tell all the stats. We love telling the stats when babies are born. And God does something similar. Like a proud dad, he's like, my baby's here, my boy is here. But he does something far cooler than we could ever do. He sends his angel. Right? He doesn't just send a text, he sends his angel to tell us all the stats. Look at these stats about God's baby, about Jesus. And this is unlike any stats we can give. And these stats are why we have joy. No matter our circumstance, who is this baby? Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He is Savior. Jesus was sent to live and to die for our sins. As we think about Jesus this Christmas, let's look to the cross and him dying for us to save us. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Christ. He is the long-awaited Messiah, the promised one, the one that we've been waiting for and looking for. He's here. He is Lord. He is ruling and he's reigning. He's in control of all things. And he doesn't, and God doesn't send a picture. He instead tells the shepherds, go and check it out for yourself. Verse 12, he tells them a sign. This will be a sign for you. This is how you'll find this baby. And then in verses 13 and 14, more angels show up. Lots of them. And they begin praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among whom he is pleased. The angels show us this right response to Jesus' birth, and it's worship. We get to see them worshiping. When good news of great joy comes and we hear it, we understand it, we receive it, we believe it, it changes everything. God doesn't leave us where we're at. He doesn't leave us in our joylessness. No, God enters history by sending his son to bring us more joy than we can even imagine. And this is the good news of great joy this Christmas. As the shepherds hear this good news, it changes everything for them. When we hear good news, nothing is the same. So we got the news about Ezra, and we're told we need to get a bunch of tests. And so we take Ezra to get a bunch of tests, the blood work, the liver ultrasound, the full skeletal x-rays, and we get a call back from the oncologist. And that day we did receive good news, and everything changed. It was just that one spot on his skin. Praise God. No other lesions were found in his body. And when that biopsy was done by dermatology, that was it. They got it all. Now, our journey's not over. He needs to be checked every 6 weeks for the first 6 months. And our next appointment is Tuesday, so pray for us and pray for him. And then he'll need to be checked every 3 to 6 months until he's 5. But right now, he's cancer-free. And now I realize that we won't always get the good news here in this life. And that's why our joy is not rooted here. Just as we've heard up here already, we look to Jesus coming back. Some of you are still waiting for the good prognosis, and it's been years. And God is with you, and he wants you to experience this joy in his son. Now, Paige and I, we did get good news that day. But that good news that we got about Ezra is nothing compared to this good news that we're talking about today. That God sent his own son. Because when we receive good news of great joy, nothing is the same and we must respond. Good news must be responded to. Good news that isn't responded to, maybe wasn't heard right, maybe wasn't understood. Or good news that isn't responded to, maybe isn't good news. Maybe is bad news. Maybe it's fake news. Maybe we just meet it with apathy. Maybe we ignore it. Maybe we get excited about the good news, but then we get easily distracted. Or maybe we meet it with skepticism. But no one in their right mind would get good news that their son is cancer-free and continue to treat him like he has cancer. But isn't that how often we respond to the good news that Jesus came at Christmas? That Jesus has been born. At Christmas, we go through our traditions and celebrations. We get caught up in the cultural mythology around Christmas. We are bombarded with consumerism that is the holiday season. And we're trying to find our joy in all the things here. Good news must be responded to. How do we respond to this good news? We see five responses in this passage. First, look at verse 15. We go and see. After the angels go away, the shepherds look at one another. And they say, let's go. Let's go and see. And here we see it says they go with haste. They go quickly, they go immediately to find this baby. And this is the yearly invitation of Christmas. This is the yearly reminder that this Advent season has for us. An invitation. Would we be people who go and see? Would we be people who go and see? We can ignore or have this good news in the background, or we can go and see. How do you need to go and see this good news for yourself this Christmas? Maybe for some of you in this room, you still don't know if you believe this. Maybe you're hearing that Jesus has come, and you're beginning to see that Jesus has come to live for you and to die for you, but you haven't believed this yet for yourself. I invite you, would you hear this good news? Would you go and see it for yourself? After the service, there'll be people up here to pray with you. They would love to talk with you, answer any questions. I invite you to come up and pray. Would you go and see? But for all of us, would we all go and see Jesus more clearly as the one that has joy for us? One of the only ways Paige and I made it through this experience with Ezra with any amount of joy is because God had been inviting me to go and see for the past year. For the past year, that's what Paige and I have been doing, going and seeing and exploring that Jesus alone is where we can find our joy. Little did we know that all that going and seeing, all the thinking, all the studying, all the praying, all the little experiences were building to the point where we could choose to find joy in God no matter what happened to our baby. I never told my wife, don't fear, but I did ask her, how can we choose joy in this situation? And she looks at me and she says, that's the craziest thing you could ask me. And then she pauses and she's like, but that's what you need to ask me. And what that looked like for us was remembering, holding on to the truths and promises like we're talking about today. That we have a good God that has sent his own son to be Savior, Christ, and Lord. Right, as we went to Ezra's appointment to get his whole body checked out, we're stepping out onto the cancer floor and looking out over Kinnick, and the tears began to come. I'm like, God, how am I supposed to do this? And what flooded into my mind was that Jesus is Savior. If Jesus can save me for eternity, if I can believe that he's got me for eternity, I have to trust him with my son, and I have to be able to find my joy in him. Not knowing what's going to happen. Not knowing what's going to come from this appointment. Even if this didn't turn out the way we wanted, Jesus is still Savior. And he's also Lord. Like, okay, God, you're in control. I can't fix this. You are in control. We love singing about Jesus ruling and reigning. But you know when we don't like singing about it or thinking about it is when his ruling and reigning begins to impact me in my personal life. Like, God, I don't know if you got this. but he does. And that's what we get to look at, and we get to choose to believe and to hold on to and look at that. And this is where I find great joy, as I trust in the Savior and Lord. Even as we look to Tuesday, we have to continue to fight as Ezra has another appointment. As the fear and anxiety well up, you remember, church, this is a daily fight. Would we choose to find our great joy in Jesus alone, no matter what comes at us? This is real life stuff. Christmas and this Advent season matters because we remember how good our God is, that he saves and is Lord. Church, would you go and see? You might be going through something unimaginable right now. And the craziest thing you could ask yourself is, how can I choose joy? Jesus invites you. God invites you. Would you go and see? And for all of us in this busyness of the Christmas season, would we go and see? Would we run to him for our joy? So first, we go and see. Second, we gladly tell. When you hear good news, you can't help but share it. And this is exactly what the shepherds do. They go and see, and then they gladly tell. Look at verse 17. When they saw, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They shared, they told, they spoke. Right? These shepherds were the first ones to receive from the angels the good news, and then they went and saw it for themselves, and then they told about it. They didn't let this good news stop with them. They had to tell. They had no training. They had no experience. They were just so overwhelmed by the joy they had found that they had to tell. Who can you tell of this good news of great joy this Christmas? This is not just for us here at Grace Community Church. This is for all people. Let it not stop with us. So we go and see. We gladly tell. Third response, we wonder. Verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Those who heard wondered. They were marveling. They were in awe. They were captivated by it. Would we not ignore that the good news of great joy, Jesus, has come? Would we not meet this Christmas season with apathy? Would this Christmas season not be business as usual for us here at Grace Community Church? Would we be so captivated by Jesus? Would we find our joy so much in Jesus that it causes us to wonder by this good news? As we go and see, would we wonder? Would we be in awe? And then would those around us, as we gladly tell, would they be in awe? Would they wonder? Because if we tell of this great news, people respond. So one thing I've learned as I've done college ministry for the last 13 years, is if you tell people about Jesus, they respond. As I said earlier, I'm one of the field staff, so missionaries of Grace Community Church. And since I'm up here, I want to tell you what God is doing on the college campus. Church, God is at work. God is at work. Many of the students are learning to go and see Jesus for themselves. And they are beginning to be in awe of Jesus as they wonder. And they're being filled with this joy that they can't help but share Jesus with others. This school year alone in our Navigator ministry, and there are many other ministries represented here at Grace as well, ministering to college students. But what I know of through the Navigator's ministry is we've seen 19 people put their trust in Christ this semester alone. God is at work. And many hundreds more students are wondering and are in awe and finding their joy in Jesus because their friends are finding their joy in Jesus and telling them. Church, God is at work in this city and on this campus. Would you believe that? This city, this campus needs people to go and see Jesus, find their joy in him, and gladly tell so that way they can wonder. So go and see, gladly tell, wonder. Fourth response, we see Mary's response. Mary treasured up all she had heard, pondering them in her heart. Mary's treasuring this moment. This was her treasure. Often what our treasure is what we find our joy in. This Christmas, what are we treasuring? Fifth response is worship. Look at verse 20. We've already seen this. We've seen the angels as they've told of the good news. We've seen them begin to worship. And this is the same thing the shepherds do. They worship. They praise God. Worship is the purpose of Jesus' coming. Don't miss this. Worship is the purpose of our joy. Worship is the purpose of Christmas. We see it in the angels. We see it in the shepherds. Because our joy is from God. It's found in Him, in His Son, and nothing else. Would we be a church that worships this Christmas? How will you respond? The angels brought this good news of great joy for all people, for the shepherds, for you, for me. And this good news of great joy, that this Savior, the Lord, the Messiah, has come, it changes everything when we hear it and receive it. We must respond. Will you go and see for yourself? Will you gladly tell? Will you wonder? Will you be captivated by Jesus in a way you haven't been before? Because He is our treasure. And so we worship. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We thank You for sending Your Son, that He is good news of great joy for all people. Lord, will we believe that? Lord, will You show us how we can find our joy in Your Son, Your Son alone? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are able, will you please rise as I read our benediction from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Go in grace. Have a great day.